Hello again, Bernie Miklas with you on this Monday, January the 6th. Sorry, I was a little late getting a video out today. It's been one of these strange days where everything's gone wrong. I'm okay. I'm in a good mood. But one of the problems, as you can tell by the video that you're looking at, kind of blurry, eh? Yeah. I think my webcam has pretty much quit on me. So I'm going to have to get another one. Wasn't able to do it today. I'm snowbound. And didn't feel like fighting off all that snow to just get to a store to buy a new webcam. We'll get one in here, but you might have to put up with this for a few days. You come here for the entertainment and the expertise. And yeah, haters, I'm being sarcastic. Anyway, thank you all for watching the Bernie Miklas Show today here on YouTube. Want to talk about it, Nolan Arenado, because what else, right? Listen, I got a lot of good Cardinal stuff planned coming up, but when there's news or there's any kind of developments, I think we hit this. But you might want to stay tuned for this because I'm going to explain to you, I'm going to give you some real under the surface, digging down type data, stats, whatever you want to call it, that explains why Arenado's offensive trajectory is poor. And you know, if you're kind of a wild-eyed optimist, you could think, well, he can bounce back a little bit. Maybe he can. I'm not saying he can't. But this, the issues that he's had the last couple of years and as he has declined as a hitter are something that the Boston Red Sox, who may be interested in making an Arenado trade if they lose out on Alex Bregman, they're reportedly in the bidding for him as a free agent. So the Red Sox are going to look at some of this stuff I'm going to share with you. I mean, they obviously will look at this stuff, and they will covet Arenado for his defense, which definitely will help them. I will also explain that, why that is. But if the Cardinals don't trade Arenado, if this one kind of falls apart, well, these statistical declines – the evidence of the statistical decline offensively, that stuff is still there, and it would very much impact the St. Louis Cardinals, and not in a good way. Because I know a lot of people are wish-casting and thinking that somehow Arenado can turn back the clock 2 or 3 years. I don't know. I don't rule out some moderate improvement because he's been working hard this offseason, trying to quicken his swing and maybe shorten his swing, things like that. So I give him some respect for at least identifying the problem and trying to do what he can to solve it. But I think that people somehow think maybe he's going to get back to closer to what he was, his first couple years here, even though he would not have the magnitude, the power magnitude. Listen, man, I'm not here to be Mr. Killjoy or Buzzkill, but it's kind of difficult for me to envision that based on facts and based on his aging curve, right? So why don't we just get started at the top? But I have a lot of things in this, so it's not just about Arenado. It's about not just about Arenado, like whether the Cardinals can trade him. It's about Arenado and, like, what if they don't trade him? What does it mean? Because, like I said, these numbers apply to him even if he's wearing a Cardinals uniform in 2025. All right. First of all, the update, it began Sunday when Chris Cotillo and Sean McAdam of MassLive.com, they cover the Red Sox. They do a hell of a job. They reported that Arenado or his agent or maybe even the Cardinals let the Red Sox know, made them aware that Boston is a preferred destination for Arenado. Maybe even the preferred destination for Arenado. And so this is kind of like whoever put this out there, I'm assuming his agents got something to do with it, which is fine. You got to get the word out. And maybe the Cardinals passed along the message too. I have to, you know, if you think back, this is like the third time Arenado's done this. He was going on social media, lobbying the Dodgers, right? Then he, when Paul Goldschmidt signed with the Yankees and Yankee fans were saying, hey, Arenado, you know, come here, you know, reunite with Goldie. This will be great. We want you. So he made sure to like every single one of those positive comments and all of the come to New York comments. He made sure to hit the like button. So he lobbied, in fact, kind of make a pitch to the Dodgers and the Yankees, who at least to this point, no thank you, right? So now he's trying it again with the Red Sox. And the Red Sox may have some interest in him. And I tell you what, John Dent, who covers Cardinals for MLB.com, he really went strong on this in the follow-up to the original report. I'll read to you what he said. You can go read the story, but I'll give you the stuff that he said. And again, John Denton, as you can follow him on Twitter at JohnDenton555. See if he has any other updates today, tonight, tomorrow morning, whatever. So I'm going to read this. It's three paragraphs, and this is me quoting directly from John Denton's report. Quote, "The Red Sox have emerged as a strong candidate to land Arenado via trade from the Cardinals, a source told MLB.com in recent days. Boston could be close to pulling out of the sweepstakes for free agent third baseman Alex Bregman, who could potentially command a deal worth $200 million, per the source." Continuing, quote, "Arenado, who's owed $74 million over the next 3 years, could soon be headed to the Fenway Park, a right-handed hitter's paradise and a place that could revitalize his power slump." Let me interrupt and say, not so fast, my friend. More on that later. The 33-year-old Arenado, who will be 34 next season, he has a full no-trade clause in his contract, and he flexed it in December to block a potential deal to the Astros. He has informed the Cardinals of his willingness to agree to a potential trade to the Red Sox, a source said. Final paragraph. We quote John Denton's reporting. Red Sox shortstop second baseman Trevor Story, who played with Arenado in Colorado from 2016 through 2020, has been selling his friend on the merits of playing for Boston in recent weeks. However, a Cardinals-Red Sox swap could be contingent on St. Louis swallowing a sizable chunk of the money still owed to the third baseman, and Boston also dealing first baseman Tristan Casas for value. In other words, they would move their third baseman, Rafael Devers, to first. They would trade Tristan Casas, their first baseman, for pitching help or whatever. So a lot of things have to happen, but that's John Denton's reporting. But I have got to dig into this narrative about Arenado being built for Fenway Park. Maybe a couple, 3 years ago, he'd be ideal for Fenway Park, but a lot has changed. I'm not sure why that – how do I put this? I'm really not sure why so many people are still oblivious to this. I really don't understand it. I don't expect people to be sitting in front of their laptop all day researching data, but still, all you got to do is look at his basic numbers to know that his power has really decreased. It has decreased substantially, and I will go through that again. But it has decreased so substantially. It's not as if nothing changes with his swing, nothing changes with his the fact he doesn't hit the ball hard. He doesn't have much of an exit velocity. He's got a slow bat. His swing is too long. If none of that changes and changes dramatically, Fenway Park ain't going to save him as far as being a power hitter again. It's just not going to happen. So let me walk you through this if I can. He would provide a power boost only if he, Arenado, could pull more balls into the air to left field, either line drives or fly balls. But his rates have steadily declined in this area, and it's pretty glaring. And I'm just going to use pulled fly balls because that's where he hits most of his home runs. In fact, he's hit 106 home runs as a Cardinal. 100 have been hit in the air to left field. Six have been hit to center. He has never, as a Cardinal, four seasons, has never hit an opposite field home run anywhere, but especially Busch Stadium. So in his first two seasons, and you have to listen to the numbers, man. I know it's not ideal to like remember the numbers. It's easy if it's on your screen. If somebody can teach me how to do graphics or whatever, I'll pay you. Anyway, first two seasons as a Cardinal, Arenado pulled 195 fly balls that produced 64 home runs. Over 2021 and 2022, 195 fly balls, 64 homers, first two seasons as a Cardinal. Last two seasons as a Cardinal, 131 pulled fly balls. That's a pretty big drop from 195. Produced 33 home runs in 2023-2024. In 2024, it was really bad because he had only 63 balls pulled in the air for just 13 home runs. I mean, this is obvious stuff here. You know, this is not just like someone, this isn't the eye test, although the eye test would actually have some relevance here. Pulling the ball for flies and line drives is essential to Arenado's success. As a Cardinal, he, like I mentioned, he's pulled 100 of his 106 home runs. And he doesn't go opposite field. Every now and then he'll loft one that'll get out in center field. But if he's not pulling and pulling frequently and getting the ball launched into the air to his pull side, and as I just explained, and you can rewind it a little bit to listen to it again, the number of fly ball rates to his pull side have just been dropping every single year. And last year really dropped to an alarming rate. And I don't know what else to say, you know, to kind of frame that for you, because it speaks for itself. His decrease in slugging and home runs isn't just some random accident or bad luck. It's all very much tied to his declining pulled fly ball rate and also his struggles to punish fastballs, which I'll explain, and his inability to consistently hit the ball hard, which has never, it's never been good for him, but it's gotten especially bad. And he's got bat speed issues that are affecting his ability to pull the baseball. His ground ball rate keeps going up as his fly ball rate keeps going down. If you want to restore your power, that trend cannot continue. If the Red Sox, let me try to find this. I know I have this, and I think I misplaced it. I think I do have it, actually. You know me. I got too many notes all the time, all the time. But he, here's what it is. We're talking about fastballs. I want to add that to his problems. Let me grab this. Thank you for your patience. In 2021, he had a 459 slugging percentage on fastballs. We're talking about the whole fastball family, all types of fastballs, a 459 slug. Pretty good. In 2022, this is like funny to look at, he slugged 606 against the fastball family. 606. Then in 2023, that dropped to 500, which is still good. I wouldn't have expected him to, you know, slug 600 again. That was a peak season. So 500 slugging percentage in 2023. But in 2024, that slugging percentage on fastballs was 416. So if you just go from 2 years ago, a 606 slugging percentage on fastballs, 2 years later, it was 416. Oh, I mean, seriously. So if the Red Sox want Arenado, it's they're surely looking at this stuff, right? And they have undoubtedly taken note of his massive drop in slugging percentage and his fly ball rate that's gone down, down, down. You know, when you have about a, when you have a decrease in slugging percentage on pulled fly balls and pulled, you know, pulled fastballs and everything else, that just as massive as this, that's a huge problem. Arenado hit a career low 16 home runs last season. And according to StatCast, only 12 of those 16 home runs would have gone out of Fenway Park. See, everybody's spinning this narrative. Oh, you get him in Fenway Park. And oh man, it's like game on. You know, Arenado going to hit 30 again. He's going to hit 35. It's Fenway Park. Here's the deal. I always say too much, don't I? I'm sorry. I annoy myself with that. Anyway, the problem is, again, Fenway Park can't save him. because he doesn't hit the ball hard anymore, and it's really become a challenge for him to launch pitches that easily clear the outfield walls or the fences, right? He doesn't hit these boom no-doubters, right? The no-doubters. And StatCast actually classifies home runs along these categories, right? So let me show you the trend, or read you the trend in his Cardinal seasons of his percentage of home runs that are no doubters. Like, as soon as they leave the bat, you know, no doubt whatsoever, that's gone, right? That's what we're talking about. It's like, as soon as he hits it, you know. All right. In his first season as a Cardinal, 62% of his home runs were no doubters. In his second season, 2022, 43%. That's a big number, were no doubters. It dropped to 38.5% in 2023. And then last season, the number of his home runs that were no doubt about it numbers, right? 12.5%. So that means his percentage of no doubt home runs has dropped 49.5% over the last three seasons. I don't know how. I mean, again, this is one of those things where it's like, I don't even know what to say. But if you really believe that going to Fenway Park is suddenly going to lead to him hitting, like, you know, 35, 30 home runs, 28 home runs, whatever, not unless he starts to hit the ball harder. Not unless he can start to turn on fastballs again, and he shortened his stroke, and he has a faster bat speed. And then maybe some things will fall into place for him. But, you know, Fenway Park may be easier for a lot of right-handed hitters, right? But it is not going to restore his power. Only he can restore his power, and he's putting in the work to do that. But this idea of, listen, when 12.5% of your home runs in a season are kind of like, he hits the ball and you're kind of like, I don't know if that's going to get out. Is that going to get out? I was caught at the warning tracker. Is that going to get out? That landed in the first row. You know, those kind of things. That doesn't have anything to do with the ballpark. I mean, the ballpark's not going to fix that. And especially Fenway Park, where you got the very tall green monster, I could see some of the well-struck balls, but they're not rockets, right? They're not launched like rockets, because he doesn't hit them. Very rarely does he hit them that way anymore. Yeah, maybe he would get more doubles. I don't know, but I'm just saying, this narrative is just mostly junk. And, you know, all the data supports that. It's called a decline phase, okay? All right, the Red Sox presumably have looked at other StatCast data. Last season, his hard hit rate was in the bottom 12% of all big league hitters. His average exit velocity was in the bottom 9%. That's why he doesn't have a hard hit rate, because the ball's not coming off his bat at much of his speed in terms of exit velocity. And his barrel rate sank to the bottom 6% of all hitters last year. So he's not barreling pitches the way he used to. What about bat speed? Good stuff here. More numbers. I'm sorry, I can't help it. That's all we can talk about to present facts to you about this, rather than just running off at the mouth. What about bat speed? Big problem. Arenado was in the bottom 28% of big league hitters in bat speed last season. Please note that, and this is the key point here, please note, major league hitters had an average fast swing percentage of 23% last season. That was the average. 23% of all of their swings were fast swings, which lead to really good results. 23%, that was nearly twice, approaching to be twice as high as Arenado's 13%. So he was 10% below the major league average for fast swings. So you're not going to get your home run power back if your bat speed is still that slow. And he also has a long swing. And that's something else that I believe he's working on to try to improve. And to his credit, he does work hard. No one can ever say he doesn't. So to pull the ball more frequently and effectively, Arenado's going to have to shorten that swing and speed it up if possible. And if he can't do that, the home runs ain't flying, my friends. Maybe in my backyard or yours, right? Maybe in Williamsport where they have the Little League World Series, but you put him in any major league ballpark, the ball is not going to be flying, clearing the fence with ease, any outfield wall you want to put in front of him in the major leagues when we're talking to left field. I already gave you the fastball stuff, but again, you know, had a 416 slugging percentage in fastballs last season. Last in 2023 is 500. In 2022, it was 606. I didn't expect, like I said, I know I'm being redundant. I didn't expect him, to have a 606 slugging percentage again on fastballs, but down to 416 last year, that's not going to help you recover your power. If you are not handling fastballs with authority. Again, Arenado's decrease in slugging percentage in home runs, this is not some random event, some trend, he'll fix it. He just had bad luck. No. If the Red Sox want Arenado, they will covet his defense, and for good reason, which I will explain. And it does make sense that they would want him for his defense if they miss out on Alex Bregman. But even if they get Bregman, he'd be a better hitter than Arenado. But I tell you what, there's some red flags with Bregman as well. And certainly Arenado's a better fielder than Bregman at third base. Right? But here's why it really makes sense for the Red Sox, maybe more so than some other teams who may have looked at Arenado and said, I know he plays good defense, but, getting those ground balls is not a big concern to us because our staff doesn't throw a lot of ground balls, right? Well, for the Red Sox, it actually makes a lot of sense to have a third baseman who can go get them the way Arenado still can. Last season, Red Sox starting pitchers had the fourth highest ground ball rate in the majors. And the offseason additions this offseason, Walker Buehler and Garrett Crochet won't alter that because those guys last season had a ground ball rate of 45%, which is right about where the other Boston starters were in 2024. And Lucas Giolito, who will make a healthy return in 2025, he's got a ground ball rate close to 40%. So, yeah, there's a lot of ground balls headed to that left side of the Red Sox infield. Trevor Story's, I think, still pretty good at shortstop. Arenado is still, in terms of, I can read this to you because I made the note. So it makes sense. Ground ball staff, ground ball starters, man. You need people who are going to be able to make the plays. He's still an elite defender. He ranks in the top 5% of major league players in fielding range, top 5%. And he's in the top 14% still in fielding run value. So he passes the test. He gets the check marks for playing elite defense. Maybe not peak form defense, but it's still elite. So if the Boston front office covets Arenado for his offense, well, they're going to have to hope that he'll check in at Fenway Park at age 34 and suddenly reverse the aging decline that has deflated his poolside power and capacity to hit baseballs really hard. I would imagine the Red Sox would, even if they accept that the offense is even with some modest improvement, I think they at least consider a deal for Arenado as long as the Cardinals are willing to eat a large portion of the $64 million, because it is $64 million, because the Rockies are paying 10 of the $74 million. So of the $64 million that remains over the final 3 years of his contract. I don't know why the Red Sox would be so desperate, because they do have a third baseman, and Devers is not as good as Arenado. In the past, he's had some good seasons defensively. But, yeah, Arenado's better. But how much are you willing to pay just for defense? That's what it comes down to. So if the Cardinals are saying, no deal, we're not going to eat that much money, I doubt that the Red Sox would go for it, but who knows, right? Until you ask, until you tell them no, then you see what they say and they come back at you. They say, well, let us think about it. Or how about this? But if the Cardinals aren't willing to eat a lot of that contract that remains, they can forget about getting much in return, especially an elite prospect. And if the Cardinals refuse to absorb a substantial piece of that Arenado contract, the decision would confuse me for four reasons. And let me go through them quickly. Number one, his offense is in decline and the chances of a revival appear to be small. I already covered that. Number two, as part of the so-called youth movement, the Cardinals really want Nolan Gorman to play third base next season. That's a no-go if Arenado is still here. So what about the youth movement? What about the play the kids movement? What about, we really need to find out. We're really enthusiastic. We want to find out about Gorman at third base. Not if Arenado's here, you can't find that out. So that kind of cuts out some of your play the kids initiative, right? Number three, even if the Cardinals have to pick up the tab to pay down Arenado's salary commitment enough to get the Red Sox to say, okay, well, the Cardinals would still save payroll space, right? They would still come out ahead in their initiative also to slash payroll. They would still come out ahead even at a fraction because, yeah, if they don't trade him, they're responsible for all of the $64 million. But if they only pick up $10 million, well, that's still a $10 million savings. If they pick up $15 million, that's $15 million savings. Heck, even if they pick up $5 million, $8 million, $9 million, that still lowers their payroll to an extent over the next three seasons. So you're still achieving one of your goals, which is to reduce player costs as you rebuild, retool, re-whatever. Cardinals confuse everyone with what they're exactly trying to do because Mozeliak keeps telling people on the radio or whatever, it's like, oh, we're going to be competitive. Oh, we're going to exceed expectations. Oh, we're going to be entertaining. Oh, you know, and basically saying they can make the playoffs or at least have a shot at it. So I don't know, you know, that's part of my problem. I still don't know what to believe, what they tell us what to believe. Like, they're not all in. They're not going for it. They're not adding players. They haven't spent $1 on anyone outside of the organization this offseason. But yet they won't trade off players who have value, like Helsley and Fetty, where they could get some prospects and good prospects in return. So where are they? We talked about it Friday. They remain stuck in the Mozeliak middle, the mediocre Mozeliak middle, right? It even with their messaging to the fan base, it's all over the place. It's like, well, what? Pick a lane. Where are you? You're still in the center lane. You're either going to go hard into rebuilding or harder into rebuilding, or you're going to get some talent in here to back up what you're saying about being really competitive and, you know, we really think we can surprise some people. Well, you got to back that up a little bit. You got to give us something to support that. They're not doing that, but nor are they going into even a soft rebuild here. I mean, it just always stay in the middle. I'm laughing because it's just absurd. Anyway, so even if they got to pick up most of the tab, they're still going to save money by trading Arenado. And number four, and then they also get to put Gorman at third, which is a big part of their 2025 plan. And fourth, if the Cardinals would be able to clear out a player who seems less than ideal for a rebuilding effort or whatever you want to call it. Remember, in 2023, Arenado complained that the Cardinals had too many young guys in the clubhouse. You got too many young guys around here. And that was Nato who complained about it, and he actually went on the record with it. And that prompted Mozeliak and Ali Marmol to get all, Nato's unhappy. We better go get a couple of old guys so we won't have so many youngsters running around. That's how you got Matt Carpenter and Brandon Crawford. I mean, Matt Carpenter, his offensive performance was only slightly below average. I'm talking about OPS plus. But still, Arenado freaked out the guy who runs the baseball operation, and he freaked out the manager so much that they went out, and instead of getting players who could really help their bench, Oh, Arenado. Oh, he don't like them young guys. Oh, we better do something. Let's get some geezers up in here. Can we repeat once again? The Chaim Bloom era cannot start soon enough. So if the Cardinals, do they really want him around when they're going to get even younger in 2025, right? Do they really want him around in the middle, all up in the middle of all this? Ooh. Good luck, Ollie. Mo, great. Great work as always. Listen, if the Red Sox are willing to take Arenado, Jao Mazalek had better thank them quickly and get a deal done quickly before Boston's baseball boss, Craig Breslow, changes his mind. Otherwise, it would just be another failure by the Mozeliak regime. I mean, they don't even seem to know how to rebuild, even a soft rebuild. They still don't really understand this, do they? Because they're trying to stay in the middle. Oh, no, we're not rebuilding. No, we think we can compete. We think we can this. So that means you're going to add some free agent players, right? I mean, don't have to be big spending players. You know, guys are going to cost you a lot of money, but you're going to upgrade this roster, right? You're going to get, you know, bench depth. You're going to get bullpen depth, right? 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 You're going to sign some free agents, right? Well, all is quiet for now. Stay in that middle. Anyway, if they keep Arenado, to me, this would reaffirm what we already know, that Mozeliak doesn't really know what he's doing or how to go about it in what he calls a reset season, a rebuilding season, a rehab season, or whatever you want to call it season. I guess if Mozeliak really holds on to Arenado, we can put a new title on 2025. You know what it would be, the new title? Folks, it's just another John Mozeliak season. That'll do it for me today. I'll be back tomorrow. And thank you for your patience with the blurry video, or blurrier than usual. I had to use my PC webcam that's built in. I'm going to go get myself a new webcam that'll make the picture look better, sharper and clearer. I appreciate all of your support. Thanks for watching the Bernie Miklas Show. And thank you for all of your comments. More tomorrow morning.